Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs.
Tell you what, Rick, one of these days we're going to string a few of these together. So it is officially now football season, so it's time to get serious. The Asylum is all the way back. And, Rick, I got a good feeling here. We can put a month of shows together before we go on another month-long hiatus.
You know, it finally things are starting to happen, but, you know, I don't really want to go through everything that's happened the last month because the show would be over.
Yeah, that'd be the entire hour.
Yeah, some of it.
And none of it's funny. It's all kind of like sad.
Yeah, it was really sad, scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it had some real health scares and, yeah, just a lot of uncomfortable situations pertaining to, you know, various people's health.
Yeah,
and that's not fun.
That's all right. But it is behind us. We are back. It's football season. We are going to find a way to get this done. Hey, check out the show at Asylum Football on, can I say Twitter? Am I supposed to say X now? Have we decided what the language is for that?
Well, apparently it's X, and we post and don't tweet now.
All right, so we post on X. So go to X and check out our post at Asylum Football.
Yeah.
That's going to take a while to get used to. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. So training camps are rolling. All the excitement in the world. We've got injuries. We've got holdouts. We've got the whole nine yards. But before we get into anything, Rick, I think we need to sort of introduce what this show is going to be. Rick and I have spent a lot of time talking. If anybody is somehow still stuck with us through the long term, we've had the iterations of the Asylum Fantasy Football Show, the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. It's Just Sports, I believe, we did for a little bit. Chaos and
Point
Disorder.
Blank.
Point Blank. It was a lot of fun. And we've landed. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, the, what was it, Sunday morning, Inside Slant with Scott Fish.
I'd like to do that again.
Yeah, maybe, that was fun.
If we could get anybody to listen into that live. But I think we've landed on fantasy football is where we want to be right now. But the issue becomes, number one, there's 8,000 fantasy shows.
Oh, at least.
Being done by all the major networks. And we are not guys that can sit around and read numbers to you. I ain't talking about air yards and all this nonsense. And so what is it that we can offer, can we bring, other than general horse assery, which we're good at? So if you're into that, you know, definitely stick around because that will happen. We can't get back into these boring shows. So I think what this show is going to become on a weekly basis, even when we get into season, obviously we'll talk about the headlines and anything big going on and give our opinions. But we spend a lot of time, at least Rick does, and when I'm in the bathroom, on X. See, Twitter, X. Can we say Twitter, or is that clouds?
Everybody knows what Twitter is, and it'll come up as X, but nobody cares.
They're online, and all these narratives and all these hot takes and all this, I'm about to say something really stupid, and there's no debate. Well, if you've ever followed us, if you say no debate, Rick is going to try to debate you. And it doesn't matter what it's about, you know.
That's true.
You know, pepperoni on pizza is the best type of pizza, no debate. Well, Rick Briggs is coming for your ass. rest assured that's going to happen. So I think that's going to be this show. Whatever the hot topic, the narrative is every week, be it a player, a team, a situation, we're going to go in and we're going to debate that. We may mock you if we find a stupid tweet you send out. So if you have ideas, asylumfootball@gmail.com, if you're seeing something, if you're seeing a narrative, if you've got a take that people were considering ridiculous that you want us to talk about, we're willing to do that.
You bet. And if you want to send us, you know, quote a stupid tweet that you saw and just stick it in the message, you know, don't do it publicly because, you know, just send it, you know, message to
us. Yeah, I don't mind
us.
Publicly shaming
no,
people.
No, but because we want to have something new and
surprise.
Fresh on the show, of course. Yeah, send it to us in a message or email it to asylumfootball@gmail.com. You know, just copy it, send it to us. You know, something on the line of, what is it? Gardner Minshew is quarterback number one for 2023, and there's no debate about it. You send that to us.
I would like to have that debate.
Or anything just totally ridiculous that says no debate or something on that line.
Or if it's in the vein of what we're going to do this week, and I think this will probably really run us through draft season especially, is this is the time of year when fantasy groupthink really jumps off, right?
Yes.
And we'll talk about that more when we kick it off. But if there's just this narrative out here that is, you know, not up for debate, according to the experts, I'm doing the air quote thing here, and you don't agree with it, let's talk about it.
Right.
And what we're going to talk about, maybe we do agree with it, maybe we don't, but I think all of these things merit discussion. I think throughout the season, even lineup choices, you know, every week something lines up that X running back is going to have a massive game this week because of this. And how often, Rick, does that not end up being the case? So,
right.
So I think we can talk through that. It narrows the focus of the show. Everybody sitting around reads numbers, tell you what happened last week, tell you what they think is going to happen this week. They're going to go to ESPN or Fantasy Guys or some of these bigger ones to listen to that. Here's just going to be real couple of guys sitting around having fantasy football conversations like you do with your buddies. And why wouldn't you listen to that?
And we've been around for – God, I don't know, 12, 13 years.
You for like 78
well,
years.
Well, I'm talking about our show, moron.
Yeah.
But we'll have a lot of good guests on that like to talk about fantasy. And we'll bring those on. And, you know, we'll have a debate.
Yeah.
And maybe a few chuckles on some stupid takes.
Well, I hope so. Horseassery, I believe, is what I'd like to call it.
Well, that's a good name for it. So anyway,
well, we're back to it. We got to get this thing video.
Did I tell you about that? I was at our local sheet store
okay.
a couple months ago.
Sheet's better than Wawa, no debate.
Oh yeah, there's no debate. So, but anyway, I was at the screen and I was going to go order a couple hot dogs or whatever. And I'm hitting it. There's a guy standing beside me. He's making his order and everything, and I'm hitting it, and nothing's happening. I mean, nothing's happening. And so I hit it, so I go to the next screen. Nothing happens. I'm like, you know.
You're a corpse.
So this guy walks over, you know, is beside me, and I said, your screen works. Yeah. I said, well, look, see, mine doesn't work. He reached over, hit the button one time, and pulled up the menu. I'm like, God, I am dead.
You are an absolute corpse. There's just no doubt in my mind.
The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, so for context, if you're new to the show, probably the only reason I still do this is Rick and I each have individual soundboards for all our awesome sounds.
But this is the year he finally puts it together. It isn't. He sucks.
Rick's got his own over there, and I get to watch him for 1 hour to 90 minutes every week smash his ham fingers into that thing, and nothing happened over and over.
And now apparently
it happens at the local sheets as well.
And I've actually had you walk over, hit the same button, and it works.
Yes. So,
it's bizarre.
So clearly you're dead. And
Nothing
happened. I mean, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. He smashed. There it is.
Yeah,
good job. You know what? I don't know why this is so dumb. We're going to get into the show. What was Ajayi's first name? I don't know why. I'm driving into the studio tonight, and I got to thinking about the soundboard and making sure everything was going to work. I'm doing the mental checklist, and then that got to me. Here's how my mind works. It got me to thinking about the Ajayi button, got me thinking, well, what the hell was his first name? And I can't remember.
It's Jay.
Jay Ajayi. That's it. Much better.
Ajayi. Yes.
All right. I feel better.
Jay Ajayi.
Sorry.
Jay Ajayi.
Long story if you're a new listener. Maybe we'll get into it someday.
Oh, that was a fun week there, boy. We had fun tearing that guy apart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think we got to start out, Rick. I hate doing this, you know, this early in the month. But I think, you know, we're not going to talk about every holdout or every hamstring pull, or those will come in more into focus over the next couple of weeks. But the Jonathan Taylor situation, I think, is very, very significant.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And it makes you wonder, actually, what are the Colts doing?
Right.
Are they, okay, well, you know, tanking? I mean, it doesn't make sense. They have him under contract.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really bizarre. Ursay comes out with these comments, Taylor could leave the league and I could die tomorrow, and it just carries on. And you know what? He's telling the truth, but
that's a bizarre thing to say in this situation.
Well, basically what he's saying is he's an owner, Jonathan Taylor's a star, and quite frankly, it doesn't matter if he holds out.
Right.
That's exactly what he's saying. It doesn't matter if he holds out. Steelers went on and played without Le'Veon Bell, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen other guys hold out. It doesn't do anybody any good.
But what I can't understand, you know, in terms of Irsay, and it just may be that Irsay's a jackass.
Well,
I mean,
of course
I think
he is.
I think he's the biggest one now that Dan Snyder's out. I think right. Irsay, you know, takes over that throne. But look, and we're going to get into it a little bit more later on here with the whole running back and contract situation. Look, this is such a familiar thing now where Jonathan Taylor says, I'm holding out, I want more money. You know, other than the Le'Veon Bell situation, they tend to always get it worked out, right? And so if Irsay was being quiet or just standing firm, we probably wouldn't be talking about it. It's something to monitor, right? But I think generally these things, save for Le'Veon Bell, tend to work themselves out. But we're to another level where Irsay is actively poking the bear. And he's in the whole weird back and forth with the Colts coming out and saying, he reported with back pain and we're going to put him on the non-football injury list. And Taylor says, nah, I'm fine. I just want paid. And so they're actively going after. They're not just – it's not just a contract right. dispute. It's getting personal, which really puts you in a position where I almost wonder if a trade – normally the trade never happens here. It might have to. With this situation, is this Irsay wants Taylor out? You have to wonder.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes you wonder. And, you know, look, I've seen articles already this week, the sad state of the running back situation, how we got there, blah, blah, blah. You know, look, I mean, unfortunately, it is just the nature of the business. And if no team in the league is going to pay a running back Todd Gurley money
right.
again – or at least in the near future, then holdouts are useless because you're not going to dictate to anybody that's not going to pay. And, you know, really my observation in a nutshell is these teams are figuring out that a Kia gets you from point A to point B for a lot less money than a Mercedes. They use some of that extra money, beef up the O-line,
right.
shore up a defense, whatever. And you're still ahead of the game. Because let's face it, you know, we've seen, look, these running backs, no denying, they're special players. But you take one of them out, and we've seen it before. When somebody just, look, they traded McCaffrey. Dante Foreman rushed for 900 yards.
Right.
Or whatever, you know. And I don't know. They're going to find somebody that runs the ball if their line's good and yada, yada, yada.
Well,
and
that, too, is the cyclical nature of this copycat league, right? At some point, and it may not be in the near future, at some point as these running backs get more and more devalued, you're going to see some young, smart coach come in and say, I'm going to do something different. And, hell, we might see the likes of three top-tier superstar running backs in a freaking wishbone or something, and they're going to start being dominant offensively that way. This is an extreme example, but being dominant that way, and then what happens? The rest of the league and another team, it starts catching on. Now the running back value starts going up and up and up. So, look, I am endlessly sympathetic to the running backs. They are getting a raw deal in as much as they come in, the way the CBA is structured, they've got the rookie deal, the franchise tags out there, everything exists. That depresses their value through 5 years, at which point now the teams are willing to throw them out. That's a bad deal for them. That's where
it is.
My biggest fear in all of this, selfishly, you know, take it beyond the running backs, take it beyond the teams, is whenever that this CBA is up, and I don't know when that is. I feel like they just signed one a couple years ago, didn't they? So we've got some time.
Right.
But does this become a major sticking point? Does this set us up for some type of lengthy, you know, labor shutdown? Because, I don't know, you're a union guy, Rick. You know, they just got a new NFLPA rep, what do they call him? Not the commissioner, whatever the head of the NFLPA yeah. is going to be.
Arbitrator, so, whatever, yeah.
So you're representing the whole of the league, right? You've got the running backs, along with the quarterbacks who are gathering up $50 million. So you've got it representative. You've got to represent everybody.
Right.
How do you approach this with your union? What's the union stance going to be on this? Because, again, in a salary cap league, you know, so they'll debate what percentage of all the money they get, so the salary cap goes up. But really, truly, it's most basic. In a salary cap league, every dollar more I want to give to the running back, I'm taking from somebody else. How do you even handle this as a
rep? Well, that's the thing. I mean, let's just face it. It's a players' association. This isn't a union.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, because, in a true union, if you have, wide receivers, I mean, their pay starts at a certain level and goes up with experience. I mean, you know, or maybe accomplishments or whatever. I don't know how it works. But if you have, just for example, I have no idea what they make, but I'm just using this for an example. Michael Pittman makes $10 million and Justin Jefferson makes $12 million. And then somebody else, Kadarius Toney, makes $1
million. Right.
And theoretically, I mean, just hypothetically, they have the same experience. Well, that's not a union.
Well, that's true. Everybody be making the same.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, they can say, okay, this is what we need to do as a union. No, because that's not a union. What you do, though, is you're going to have to come up. And I believe let's rewind just a minute. You know, the NFL, the players, the fans, everything, they want offense. They want scoring. So now comes these rule changes. Makes it so much easier to have passing touchdowns, you know, tons of yards. Well, they don't need the running back as much anymore either.
Right.
I mean, except if you're Derrick Henry or somebody like that. So, I don't know. They have to find something that is going to be pleasing to the running backs. But like you said, you can't just rob Peter and pay Paul.
Right.
Because
it's the same pool of money.
Now somebody else is upset. You know, all of a sudden, you know, well, geez, look at the tight end money's going down or the offensive guard money's going down, whatever.
Yeah, it's an impossible situation, and we don't have to, you know, I look at it only selfishly as in I don't want to see any type of labor strife, anything that puts the
– oh, exactly.
You know, even a one-week strike is – remember a few years ago when they were threatening it, that was god-awful. But then, you know, if you're a dynasty – player, you know, I think that puts you in a position where, yes, you are drafting these running backs early in your rookie draft, but then, boy, they hit 1 year. I think they got to go right now. Everybody's doing that, so
yeah,
it's interesting to see all that play out as well. But it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward, because it's going to change somehow, some way. I don't know how exactly it's going to change, but you also wonder, are the days of these extended holdouts going to be over or lessened just because nobody's getting paid? So I don't know what you're going to hold out for. Go ahead and hold out.
Well, and that makes the things even more complicated, because just for an example, say you're an NFL player. Well, you may have $5-6 million already stashed away in the bank. Well, you can live a year without a paycheck. To try to make a point. You know, this isn't 1975 when they made $40,000 or something like that, or whatever the case was. So, I mean, it's a tough situation. Because and then the narrative's out there. Well, it's the greedy owners. They're billionaires, blah, blah, blah. Well, true.
Very true.
But they're running a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really see any NFL teams that are similar to, say, like the Pittsburgh Pirates or Kansas City Royals.
You can't be.
No, you just can't. And plus, it's an equal playing field in the NFL,
right,
where it's not in baseball. So I really don't see any owners being cheap.
No.
However, I see them sticking together as 32 thugs.
Right, and that's what they're going to do.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's basically the mob. I mean, I think the only, and it's not a full solution, and believe me, I don't have all the answers, but I think, you know, where I worry about labor strife in the future, the only way to give running backs a chance, I won't say fix this because I don't think that necessarily fixes it, is you got to eliminate the transition in the franchise tags. You've got to do something with the rookie pay scale. And those are the types of things that owners aren't going to want to give up, right? And,
right.
And you see, and it could, my argument, on my worry on the other side, and we've gotten way off fantasy football here, is you take some of that out. The way you see really good teams get built is when a young quarterback hits, you've got him on the rookie deal, you can build around him, and then when it's time for the big deal, they almost sort of start on the decline or they level out a little bit, whereas now it could be wild even coming out of the draft.
I can see a real short term, or maybe it is a solution. Shorten the rookie deals for running backs.
Yeah, it could be specific
to like
to
2 years
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And, you know, yeah, I can see a 5-year deal for quarterbacks, even wide receivers. Maybe offensive linemen, I mean, just staying with offense, maybe offensive linemen are 3 or 4, mm-hmm. running backs shorter, 2 or 3, something on that line. And then you have a little more parity to their worth.
Right.
You know, like And you're not hamstrung either, if you think about it.
Right.
Okay, you got a rookie running back, and he was sensational his rookie year, where he blows a knee his second year. Of course, you can always cut him loose.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but you know, there's got to be something, and I think that would be a good solution. Just shorten the rookie deals for running backs. They can get paid if they're healthy and producing.
Right.
And what there's no harm in that.
And they're more likely to get paid because, again, as it's set up now is, you know, it's not about not wanting to pay running backs necessarily.
Right.
But, look, I've got you on this rookie deal for, what is it, 4 years, 5 years? I don't even know what the scale is.
Well, you
can
have 4 years of a fifth-year option.
Yeah, and then I have the franchise tag. I can do that twice if I want to. By that time, you're 6-7 years into your career. I don't care who. I don't care if you're Jim
right.
Brown in the structure of the NFL. Now you can go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. And I never have to truly pay you, at least make any long-term commitment to you.
I agree.
So anyhow, Spin, we took that way off topic. Shocker. Taking that all the way back to Jonathan Taylor, you know, What do you think happened? I know we don't know. How does this end in your mind?
Just on the surface, I think it ends badly. I think he's disgruntled. I think Ursay doesn't care. And I don't think they're have a whole lot of hope for 2023, apparently.
But I don't know why you wouldn't trade him. You know, I almost have to – and it if you believe the reports, and they're all nebulous reports, sources say, and they don't link any teams, that – there are several teams who would be in the trade market for him that would be willing to give him the deal he wants. So
right.
I think he wants the Derrick Henry deal is basically what he wants. So if that's true, you'd be a damn fool to not make that deal. You know, because I think the plan is, all right, well, I can bring in – I mean, Dalvin Cook's still out there, Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, there's guys out there you could bring in for way cheaper than that, and your team's going to stink this year anyhow. So I almost see it that way from the Colts' perspective. But why are you just actively, you know, doing this to Jonathan Taylor and not making the trade then? You know, I don't know how you repair this at this point.
I don't either.
If you're not going to give him the money. So then, all right, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, we're sitting down for our fantasy draft. He hasn't been traded. He's still holding out. Obviously, his draft stock takes a big hit. Is he a complete avoid for you? You taking the risk? You know, what do we do with Jonathan? Now we're talking about a top 6-7 pick, you know, somewhere in there to with all this strife.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, right now he's ADP 1.03.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
Not a chance. I mean, I mean, if he's holding out come draft day, which ours is what, September 1st in our League of Consequence. Yeah, you can't risk him before third, fourth round at least.
I'm not even sure I'd have the
maybe
guts
not
to go
even
to
that.
Somebody
yeah.
would, but it wouldn't be me.
No.
Now the one I always think a lot about, what if he comes back? I'm trying to think what that day would be. Let's just make one up. We'll use the caveman draft. Or he says, all right, the heck with it. I'll come back. I need a paycheck. He comes back August 31st. How much does that depress his draft value to you?
To me, it still depresses it because I still remember Chris Johnson, Larry Johnson, you know, and some of these other guys that hold out in camp. They come, oh, boy, he's back. It's going to be great. You know, he runs, you know, three series of play, pulls a hamstring, yep. twists, you know, calf muscle, whatever the case may be, groin. Mm-hmm. You know, now all of a sudden he's out for 4, 6, 8 weeks, and you've just blown a bunch of draft capital.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, and he'd never make it this far, so this is a situation that has never played out for me, but it would be if he would come back August 31st, you know, really no nothing definitive that they've had their kumbaya moment, everybody's getting along. I still have the health concerns anyhow, but you take the health concerns with where he's just coming back to get paid and there's still friction between him and the ownership and him and the team in general. I think I'm not even taking the risk till the third round on a guy like that, even if I know he's coming in and he's going to play and he's not going to make it that far. So he almost becomes just a foobar. He's on the foobar list to me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do it.
I agree.
Somebody will, and it may pay off, but I'm going to let somebody else take that risk.
I agree. Hey, let's get to some narratives that are out there right now before the season starts. And maybe we can just kind of discuss a couple of them. I know that tends to stick in your craw.
Yeah, it bothers me. Right, we see it every year, and it can be fun. You know, at least it was even 5, 6 years ago when you could debate people and could have civil discussions, where now if you don't disagree with every point they make, you're infidel or incel or you're evil and you're –
You should die. You shouldn't be able to have a job.
Yes, you should be imprisoned. Right. And, you know. And so you see these narratives start to develop, you know, and we as analysts and even you as fantasy players, you're not even allowed to question whatever this narrative is. And it's weird how these things sort of come up organically. You know, I think go back to the annals of this show. Remember the C.J. Spiller year, the year he was supposed to become Marshall Faulk.
Right.
And we both said, well, hold on a minute here. And we laid out our case on the show, and we lost hundreds of Twitter followers.
We pointed out Fred Jackson was still there.
Just got savaged online, probably the closest we ever came to going viral, just for saying, you know, C.J. Spiller's great and all, but I don't think he's going to be an RB1 this year. And, my God, you'd have thought we'd have said one of those forbidden words over there. It was unbelievable. But so, or even you think even more recently, this is one we deal with every year. It happened with Jarvis Landry. We do deal with it with Kirk Cousins now. You know, you dare say, look, I'd rather be patient. I'll just take Kirk Cousins. He puts up huge fantasy numbers. Numbers be damned. He's the worst quarterback that's ever played and will sink your fantasy team, and you should go to hell for thinking. I mean, it's the weirdest thing.
Meanwhile, the guys throwing to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and some of these guys, but no, don't draft him, whatever you do. He's horrible.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yes, he's a bad playoff quarterback. He's a bad big game quarterback. I'm looking for fantasy points, and that's due. Anyhow, we're not going to debate that. Maybe his name will come up at some point in doing this. But, you know, I get flustered when the community gets so entrenched into a narrative and the discussion becomes that there is no discussion. You shut it down. You can't have a show. You can't have an opinion. You can't do anything if you don't agree with this. And so on this show, and we said it off the top from here and going forward on this show, we're going to debate it. We're going to have that discussion. So, you know, here's a few players that I've noticed that these narratives are already starting to form as we head into draft season. And the first one is weird because it has been the biggest one and it has been the loudest one. I don't know if it's because of the sniping back and forth with this person and the entirety of New York City. That tends to maybe make things seem bigger than they are online just based on the sheer number of people. But Kadarius Toney has just been a huge hot button. You know, really the narrative is, I'm summing up, I kind of took a mashup of all kinds of tweets I saw, and basically what they're saying is Toney is absolutely not worth drafting. He's always injured. He's more worried about fighting with the Giants on Twitter. He's a terrible route runner. I'd rather take a flyer on Sky Moore in the later rounds.
Yeah, and I mean,
seems like a weird guy to be arguing about because he's a mid-level guy. Anyhow, but it's a huge, huge topic.
But it is these mid-level guys that, you know, can determine if your team has depth, you know, when it needs it. And, you know, the way we look at it, you have to just take the statement and is there anything you agree with it with or is there anything you disagree with it?
Right.
Well, when you come up with something like that, a player is totally undraftable, there's already the red flag.
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be agreeing with some point, but undraftable is ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So look, where I agree, you know, first and foremost, you know, he's been in the league for 2 years. He's missed 17 games.
That's a whole season.
That's an entire
right.
season. And so, and he's hurt now, right? Not majorly, but he's got that meniscus. He's already going to be pushing right up to the beginning of the season. Look, I agree with the narrative. He is undersized, and he's not a great route runner. And really the biggest thing for me with a guy like Tony is, this sounds weird to say with that offense and the numbers they put up and what they do and how dynamic it is, it's hard to trust anyone not named Mahomes or Travis Kelce in that offense that you haven't seen since Tyreek Hill left. Any real consistent fantasy performer there, which is
right.
really odd. You know, there's another narrative with Pacheco this year. He's taking that next step. He's going to be Larry Johnson in that
yeah.
offense. I don't know.
I don't either. I Jerick McKinnon's still there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, Helaire last year had like 6 touchdowns before
right.
he got injured.
Right.
And, you know, he's back now.
Yeah.
So Jerick McKinnon's still there. He's getting older. They're going to use him.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think Pacheco is Larry Johnson.
No.
At all. But anyway, getting back to Kadarius Toney, he is undersized. That is a bit of a concern, the way he does get dinged up. He has missed a whole season out of 2. But, you know, I mean, you pointed out, we've talked to it, he is great in space.
Oh,
and Mahomes does weird things with the football.
Right.
And if he's healthy, he could do some special things on occasion. But it is Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So on the other side of this, if I'm making an argument for Kadarius Toney, so, you know, go ahead, at Asylum Football on X, go ahead and post at me. That sounds weird to say. So tweet me on Twitter at Asylum Football to tell me, and I'm an idiot and shouldn't be allowed to do a fantasy show. Number one, this is really simple, and these guys tend to get overvalued except for Kadarius Toney. If you're a skill player in Kansas City, you got a shot anyhow, right? I mean, you're getting invited to the dance anyhow.
Right.
There's a chance, you know. I'd prefer somebody like this in a best ball situation, right? You're not
right.
going to get that week-to-week performance. But, you know, you talked about tremendous in space, and you're right, Mahomes getting the ball to somebody in space unexpectedly is massive. And so, you know, I think that the big thing, the takeaway for me, I guess I wrote down here the verdict. I like that. We need to get – we don't have any. We got Judge Wapner. But I need, like, the gavel sound or the
yeah.
law and order. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that. He's going on average, and here's why I don't understand the debate here or the hate. He's going as wide on average ADP across most platforms, wide receiver 38. So we're talking about a guy who's still a flex option in a 3 wide receiver league. Look, 8th round, late 7th, mid 8th round, I'll take a risk on a dude like that at that ADP. I will. So you don't tell me Kadarius Toney isn't draftable. I'm not counting on him to be my wide receiver 2. I'm not even counting on him to be my wide receiver 3. But if I could, in the 8th round, pick a guy like that up, beginning of the season, once he gets healthy, put him into my flex spot, if I get 7 games out of him, so be it. So be it.
Right.
I guess my point there is, quit spending all your time online arguing about freaking Kadarius Toney.
Right.
What are we doing?
Well, let's go to a narrative on somebody, you know, more higher profile. And that's Lamar Jackson.
Oh, God.
You know, the
Don't
narrative.
Here we go.
Lamar's healthy. He has weapons. He's poised to be a better passer and more judicious with running the football. You know, if not for the injuries and lack of weapons, he'd already be a surefire Hall of Famer. You know, questioning this is absurd. Jackson is unquestionably a top 5 quarterback.
This one is, now, to be fair, we're in Western Pennsylvania. We're Steeler fans. So maybe my vision, maybe I got my black and gold glasses on with some of this. But this narrative that, you know, and he did. He had a great 2019 season. But in general, let's step aside from this season. Just this in general thought of who Lamar Jackson and what he is maybe just the greatest quarterback to ever lace him up since Tom Brady. is crazy to me in the fact that it's not an overwhelming majority, but you can see it in the national media. There's people who just hold him in high esteem, which is fine, but any discussion to the contrary is met with just vengeance and furious anger, you know what I mean? I don't know why in this day and age it feels like there's a racial component to that a little bit, you know, that that anytime you say anything.
But the same people will destroy Justin Fields.
Right.
For whatever reason.
I don't know why there's all this gatekeeping for Lamar Jackson, but there really is. I can't remember a player like that. And so I think that's number one where this jumps off at me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, look, I know that he is a tremendous talent. I mean, you know, that's not up for debate. You know, but no, I mean, he's an extremely talented athlete. He can run. He can make people look stupid out there.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is he hasn't hit over 3,000 yards passing since 2019.
Yeah.
Okay? If they're going to say that he's going to be a quote-unquote pocket passer, you know, we have to start looking at what a pocket passer is. He drops back. He's got to read defenses. Mark Andrews isn't the only option in your offense.
Right.
I mean, this guy is a 63% career passer. Mark Andrews is your primary target. That's a tight end. He ain't going downfield 80 yards.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't say a whole lot for your deep passing ball. And he's got to read defenses. He's got to find open guys and not run first all the time, because I don't care who you are. We've covered this in previous shows the last couple of years. You know, we've seen it with Vic. We've seen it with Dante Culpepper, Steve McNair. These guys get beat up.
Right.
And once they lose the wheels, it's all over.
Well,
if they can't adapt.
Yeah, and that's what you worry about. So look, if, you know, where I agree with this, you know, so essentially the narrative at this point, he's a top five fantasy quarterback, right? That's the real narrative here. You know, this is right after, obviously, you have the big three and Allen in
Herbert,
Mahomes,
and Burrow.
You threw me off with Herbert. He's not in that top five.
So
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. You know, those are your four.
Hurts,
and then it's really become the drumbeat has gotten loud. Lamar Jackson's number five, ahead of Herbert, ahead of these next guys. And they, again, no discussion. We can't discuss it. He's that next guy. You know, and look, I think there's a possibility he could finish top three. I mean, I think he has that ability. You know, there's no doubt, number one, this is the best group of weapons he's had in his career. You know, they have not successfully invested in the wide receiver position, done a great job at the tight end position. But you bring in OBJ, we can debate how much he has left, but he's an upgrade over a lot of what they had there last year. Zay Flowers looks like the real deal.
Right.
You know, really quick, able to get down. And one thing Lamar Jackson can do, if he has time, he can throw the deep ball. I stood, you know, and I've gotten the opportunity to do this a lot over the years, stand on the sideline for Pitt football games, and him in Louisville came in one year. And I just watched him just flick of the wrist, 60, just ate Pitt's lunch all day. And, I mean, it was all deep and accurate. So he, there's just no question he has that ability, you know, that – while I don't see him as a pocket passer necessarily, everyone knows he's got that cannon, and Flowers is the perfect kind of foil for that, right? You know, you finally have that guy. You had a little bit with Mike Wallace, right? Just that guy that can get deep and they can get the ball to him. And look, finally, too, they made the investment on the coaching staff. You bring in Todd Monken out of Georgia. You know, he brings a better scheme. He's going to – the claim is, and I'm going to start rebutting my own argument here, is there's going to be more specific designed runs for Lamar Jackson, a lot of read option stuff, give him the opportunity to run. So it's a good situation. We presume he's healthy, and it's a better situation. But number one, let's take him point by point. Yeah, he's healthy right now. Most guys are healthy right now. It's impossible to predict injuries. But he has missed. Here's the biggest thing for me. He hasn't missed the games, the amount of games that a Kadarius Toney has. But he's been out for the fantasy playoffs the last two seasons. So this is a guy, as the season goes on, he starts to take a beating. And I haven't seen anything that changed enough to eliminate that as at least a concern for me when I'm talking about drafting a guy at where I'm going to have to draft Lamar Jackson.
Right. I agree. You know, just one more point with him, like you said, getting beat up. It's not – is there anything – and I hate to beat a dead horse because it's over, but, you know, there's still some speculation out there of why he didn't even show up for the playoff games.
Right.
You know, he wasn't in a car wreck and broken in a hospital.
No,
I mean, he had a tweak injury.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. I don't like to say, you know, make speculations on someone's attitude or character or whatever you might want to call it. But to me, that's louder than what people, you know, the drum beaters for him want to make it out to be.
You'll never convince me that wasn't about his contract. Right, I'm getting the hell beat out of me this year. I don't get along with Greg Roman, and I didn't get paid, so I'm staying home. You're not allowed to say it, but I'm going to say it. I have no doubt in my mind that's what was going on.
I do too.
I mean, I don't even blame him. But, you know, let's quit pretending like that isn't what happened.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, blame him. Yeah, I do blame him. Because, okay, every player has another – they want to see their teammate get paid.
Right.
All right? But he's like, yeah, good luck, fellas. I'm not even going to be on the sideline to root you on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm going to stay home and sit in the couch. I don't know.
No, I don't like it, but more and more I'm coming to accept in my old age it's a business, right? And guys handle their business in different ways. And – this illusion we have of team first, team guy, all men together fighting this war, less and less of that.
To me, it's not so much that. It's like, would it have really killed him? He wasn't going to play anyway.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, would it really kill him to have a free trip to this city?
Go sit in the owner's box and get drunk anyhow, you know. Joe Namath drunk, you know.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, and here's a big one for me is I think really where this top three narrative is coming from in the comparisons to the 2019 season, which is what people seem to be expecting. I'm going to have to see it to believe it that this scheme really does fit Lamar Jackson. He is built to be in this argument, to be in this conversation, and the big contract he finally did get. He has built a hell of a career and made a hell of a lot of money based on running the football.
Right.
And so, yeah, you can design all this. You can work on, you know, throwing the ball in the pocket, running a more pro-style offense. You know, the old, you know, this gets way overused with the Mike Tyson quote, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Offensive line isn't that good. So he's going to see some pressure. I'm going to believe it when I see it that he's going to stand in there, go through his reads and take that hit and not bail out early.
Right.
Now, when he bails out, he's good. He's really good. What we have seen with quarterbacks you brought up, even Steve Young, you know, other guys who were able to – who ran the ball a lot is you see their performance decline faster, right?
Right.
And almost very consistently as, you know, they get a little slower, the defenses get a little younger and faster, and you get a little bit beat up. So to say then he's going to take a big leap ahead or to where he was 3 years ago, you got a hard time convincing me of that. So, you know – I have doubts that he can, you know, run a true pro-style offense, be a true pocket passer. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know enough either way to make that argument. But I'm really going to have to see him go through, make those reads, run the read option, and not default to what made him a multi-millionaire and a guy who is mentioned amongst the league's best at quarterback which is taking off first and making plays there. And if he does that, I'm worried about him being hurt for the fantasy playoffs again, and I'm worried about a decline in skills, which a decline in skills for him probably still has him as a QB1, but not QB3, 4, or 5, where I'm seeing the arguments that he should be going.
Right. I agree. All right, let's get rolling here. And before we run out of time, and there's a couple other ones we need to hit. And Mr. Calvin Ridley is very high profile, very much under the microscope this year in camp.
Calvin Ridley's interesting to me. In so much as, you know, so much out there, again, you cannot debate the fact that he's going to be, you know, a top 15 seems to be the consensus. You know, you have a lot of people saying, ah, he's a wide receiver one, lock it up, no discussion, he's top 10. But things tended to lean to top 15, right? And my first reaction in hearing that is, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? And I sit down and I think through it, and now I'm starting to convince myself of the same thing. And so I like this one, Rick, and I'll let you go first, but starting to get, am I getting sucked into the vortex of the groupthink, right, that we're trying to dispel, or is it the real deal?
I'm one of the guys that's kind of on the side of it's a real deal. I really can't find a lot of disagreement with them predicting that he's wide receiver 15, which is high-end wide receiver 2.
Right.
Okay? He's so far, he's looked magnificent in camp. Now, he does – they did say early in the week, Monday or Tuesday, that he tweaked a toe or something and, you know, he's been limited. So, I mean, you know, that aside, okay, let's pretend that it's minor or whatever the case may be. Like I said, he's been magnificent in camp. You know, Jacksonville's found themselves. They found themselves late last year.
Did.
Urban Meyer's out of the picture. It's a new regime. It's a new attitude. It's a new team. Trevor Lawrence, this guy's a veteran now. This guy, he's there. He knows what the hell's going on. And this isn't, you know, Calvin Ridley isn't a rookie coming in that looks good in camp. This guy's an all-pro. He's been there. He's done it. And, you know, if he's healthy, to me, I'm all in.
Yeah, I think, you know, to take the other side of it, where my concerns lie, and this is simple, right? This is an easy one. I'm not breaking news to anyone who pays any attention to fantasy football. This man's played in 5 football games since the end of the 2020 season.
Right.
So, you know, we had the, you know, what was it, the mental health thing, and he walked away from Atlanta and needed to take a break, say la vie, whatever, and then the gambling suspension. It's been a long time since this man has played professional football.
True.
In general, in football, you don't stay the same or get better athletically anyhow year over year. You know, I'm willing to believe he's been working out like mad and all the videos and everything, but that gives me pause. The other thing that surprised me as I dug into this is Jacksonville is sneaky deep in skill position players, right? You've got ETN who's going to catch some passes. You got Christian Kirk who had well over 100
right.
targets last year. You got Evan Engram, right? You've got some guys who Zay Jones, right? You know, now I think he could probably easily be supplanted, but in order to have the kind of year we're talking about to a degree, is I've got to find 100 targets for Calvin Ridley here. I don't know that I can find that. I'm not convinced. Not that if he played 16 games healthy and everything, I think it'd be pretty easy to get him 100 targets. What I wonder about, you're right, he's not a rookie. You know, he's been there, he's done that, and you know, hopefully this injury's minor and he keeps being able to work with Trevor Lawrence in camp. But there was a real rapport last year between Christian Kirk and Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
I'm going to say
True.
Christian McCaffrey. I don't know where the hell I got that. They kind of look alike. Maybe it was that. But it's kind of hard to break that with a young quarterback. Yes, he's a veteran now, I agree, but he's still a young quarterback. He found a dude he trusts. Yeah, you're bringing this other weapon in, and that's awesome. But fantasy football is all about opportunity. Is he going to – Calvin Ridley's going to be good. Is there going to be enough opportunity for him to be as good as the narrative is telling us right now?
That's – I think that a healthy Calvin Ridley, you know, especially after the first couple of games, you know, he gets his feet under him, takes a few hits and so forth, is a better wide receiver than anybody on that football team.
No question.
I also look at, you know, we talked earlier in the show about, you know, the rules about, you know, ease up for passing and so forth and everything. I mean, I look at Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Yeah.
And you throw Tyler Boyd in there, who's a decent flex play.
Yeah.
All on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand what you're saying. That would give you pause. Is there going to be enough work? Is the game plan going to be as such where they'll be throwing as much? Maybe Jacksonville won't want to throw as
right.
much. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm almost willing on this instant to gamble on a Calvin Ridley, maybe a little bit around earlier than what I normally would, somebody coming back from something like that. I think he's that special.
Yeah, and I think, as I'm wont to do, right, so I just made this big, long, impassioned argument against, you know, Calvin Ridley. That being said, if we stick with top 15, if that's the target, I'll be honest, Rick, I'm all in at that, right? You know, when you're looking at that, you know, I'm skeptical he can be top 10, right?
We can play our game.
Well, we could do that. Maybe we'll pull it up here.
Yeah.
You know, my big thing is, this may sound dumb because he is a veteran. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time for him to get his sea legs back, to build up that rapport with Trevor Lawrence. It could really be October before we see him pop. And so I think that's what works against him for the entirety of the season, which is the type of performance that would be required to live up to some of the expectations that are out there, you know, clear one, clear top 10. But presumably, I do think he still has that ability. He's going to hit that stride, and he's going to hit it at the perfect time going down the stretch for your fantasy league and right into the playoffs. So while that hype train is a little loud for me, he's currently trending right now in the fifth round as the number 20 overall wide receiver. If I can get a guy who maybe season long, maybe he's going to finish as wide receiver 15, 16, 17, I think he can perform as a wide receiver 8 to 12 from week 7 on. For that price in the fifth round, I'm in. So
yeah.
If it stays there, this is one, you know, we bring this up because this is one to monitor. At his value right now, that's a snap call. I'm in. I will take it right now. If we see this drumbeat keep going and it starts to tick up and up and up, how far are you willing to go? Right?
That's
are you willing
point.
For Calvin Ridley to be your number one wide receiver on your fantasy team? Are you willing to take him in the end of the third round instead of the beginning of the fifth? That's where my questions lie.
You're right. I mean, that's something you just have to keep an eye on and hope you're right. I mean, you have to adjust your strategy that way, because if you're going to bank on him being your wide receiver one, you better have two damn good running backs, you know, by the time you pick him up.
Right.
Because, you know, you're not spending the capital on Jefferson, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, however, you know, keep monitoring him. If something's going on with that toe, you may want to, I don't think so. Okay, maybe I want him on my team, but I'm not banking on him as wide receiver one.
Yeah, because one thing I saw a couple of times, you know, scrolling through Twitter was, you know, not necessarily about draft position or is he my number one receiver or number two, but, you know, for me, Calvin Ridley, no matter what. All right, I think when you start saying that, now you're talking about you're going to have to take him late in the third, early in the fourth. You know, if you're walking into your draft saying, I have to walk out of here with Calvin Ridley, and don't get me wrong, Rick, I have a couple of those guys every year, and we'll talk about them on the show as our draft comes up. I get like that, but you tend to have to overpay for those guys. I think Calvin Ridley is spotted right at the top I'd be willing to pay for him right now if he stays there.
Right.
I'll jump ahead a couple of picks to do that, but I'm me personally, I can't go higher than that.
Yeah, maybe a couple of picks, but I'll tell you what, if you walk into a fantasy draft saying, I have to have this guy, I have to walk out with this guy, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
especially with a guy that high profile. I did it last year, remember, with Chris Olave, and I did get him. And I probably took him a round early, but what was that, eighth or ninth round?
Yeah.
You know, that's where you could play that game a little bit. But he's too high profile. You're not sneaking up on anybody, surprising anybody.
Calvin Ridley, you're not moving up, like you said, from the eighth to the end of the sixth to the beginning of the seventh to get him. You're going to have to move. You're going to be wasting a high capital draft pick,
right?
If he doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
So I mean that you have to really pay attention to what's going on and feel confident in that pick.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, other than a few headlines, you know, there's really not a whole lot, you know, any other scenarios right now of narratives that I know of.
Yeah.
But,
and we got to save some for next week.
Oh, exactly. But and there'll just be more and more as we go along. But I saw where Alvin Kamara actually is, you know, the law part of it is over with his incident is now a misdemeanor. And he was set to meet with Lord Goodell to find out what the punishment was. Apparently, he was looking at a six-gamer, but that's when he had a felony on his record. What if he's at three games?
I don't know. We've seen guys get six games that were never charged.
Well, I understand
that. So I'll be curious
that,
where we come out.
But now, okay, say it's at three games. You got Alvin Kamara. Where do you – how does that affect you?
A three-game suspension doesn't tend to affect me very much. You know, I'm not going to take a guy in the top five, but, you know, Alvin Kamara isn't that dude anymore. You know, three-game suspension, hell, I don't know. It's hard to take the Alvin Kamara out of it, so I guess we'll keep the Alvin Kamara, right? Like, he takes a big hit, and he's already, you know, I think almost comically low, honestly, in his ADP. I know he had a down year last year. I won't say a fully bad year. I know that, you know, there's questions in that offense, plus he's got this hanging over his head. I'm just looking. I don't know his most up-to-date where he's going. God, I can't even find him. No, I must have missed it. There's no way. Sorry, this is really, really bad radio when you sit here and watch me scroll
through.
Well,
you're just trying to find something. If you can't find it, I mean.
Here we go. Running back 28, 73rd overall. So if I accept that ADP, which I think is a little bit low, and yeah, maybe we'll talk about that if you want to, 73, that's what, 12 times 5, 60, 6, 7th, early, late 6th, early 7th round. I think a three-game suspension wouldn't move me off of that.
Because
if I'm looking at Alvin Kamara at that point, I've gone heavy wide receiver early, you know, maybe not necessarily zero RB, but I've gone heavy receiver early, and I'm looking for a pop. You know, I think in Alvin Kamara, which sounds odd with an older running back, I think he's a guy who could pop. I'm taking down there. Six games, he's moving down a couple of rounds.
Yeah,
that's a long time. Unless one exception, and I never do this. So, but if I came in with the conscious decision to go zero RB, I might take a guy like Kamara a little earlier than everybody else because that's the guy I can get late that has, you know, RB2 potential, which is really what you're looking for, guys who can pop to RB2 if you've gone zero RB. You know, you're hoping one pops to one, but I think realistically you're looking for a bunch of twos. You know what I mean? So, but even still, he drops a few rounds for me. It's six games, three games, four games. I think right where he's at, I'm good with.
Yeah, we'll just have to find out what Lord Goodell decides because you never know with him. It may be one game. It may be 15 with him. Who knows? So,
you know, I'm surprised by, not to cut you off, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys between Dalvin Cook, who's still going as RB21, who doesn't even have a team right now.
Right.
I guess everybody's assuming he's going to Miami, which would be a good situation.
Because they
for
talked
him.
About the Jets as well. So
yeah. God, thank God that one didn't happen.
Yeah.
Maybe it still will, but God, I'm a big believer in Breece Hall, even coming off of that knee injury. And that, great for the Jets, but how awful would that be for fantasy owners for those two to come together?
Oh, exactly.
But him still going 6 spots ahead, 6 players ahead of Alvin Kamara. Is it the suspension? Do people think Alvin Kamara is just done? What a fall.
Well, I mean, we have another month, so I have a feeling that Kamara's – something's going to come out in the next week or so with that meeting with Goodell. I can't imagine them holding back on the decision like they did a few years ago. I forget who the player was. It came out like 3 or 4 days before the season. Yeah. Oh, you're suspended 4 games. It's like, oh, great, thanks.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. But, no, I think it'll adjust itself a little bit. And, as far as Dalvin Cook goes, if you are a team – and you're truly interested in him, wouldn't it behoove you to get him into camp as soon as you can get
– one would think
let's get this deal done and get him in here.
Tells you – it almost has to tell you he's looking for more money than teams are willing to pay right now.
Yeah, isn't every running back.
Because I tell you what, if I wasn't a lunatic like Jim Irsay and I'm the Colts and I've decided I'm not going to pay Jonathan Taylor and, there's teams out there, if the rumors are true, that are willing to pay him and I can get a good return for him, I would sign Dalvin Cook right now.
Oh,
And Jonathan Taylor would be on the first thing smoking out of town. Hell, I'd sign him and Ezekiel Elliott, him and Leonard Fournette.
Hunt, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why this isn't happening. So Cook almost has to be, because he was linked to Miami a week and a half before he got cut. It was a done deal, and you just heard nothing. So,
and this is the thing that gets me about it. I mean, you mentioned the guys, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt. All these guys are 27, 28, 30 years old, whatever. Man, you got to get these guys, make sure they're okay. Get them in camp and so forth.
You worry the soft tissue injury, right? The hamstring pull.
Right, groins,
go back to Calvin Ridley. That's something a concern I have with him also early in the year, having not played a competitive football game in essentially 2 years.
Right.
Pretty likely he's going to go out. He can't predict a knee injury or something. It's pretty easy to pull a hamstring.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt. Calf strains, when the world stopped for 30 seconds when Joe Burrow went down with that calf strain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing it with Cooper Kupp now, dealing with a hamstring.
That's another, I think, maybe like the final point, maybe. I don't know. Is this – I hate to say that, but is this kind of like the beginning of the end of Cooper Kupp? I mean, he's 30 years old. I know that's not – ancient, and I can't say that he's actually an injury risk. I hate that term. This guy's an injury. He did have 2 last year, and I think about 3 or 4 years ago, he missed like 8 games both years. And I mean, when it seems like when he gets hurt, he's hurt,
right?
I mean, he's magnificent when he's healthy. But I tell you what, I would take pause with this already. I mean, hamstrings, they're nasty. The older they get, the worse they are, it seems.
And that's what I worry about, right? Like, in general, am I worried that 5 weeks before the season starts, 3 or 4 days into camp, Cooper Kupp tweaked a hamstring, or a wide receiver, let's say, tweaked a hamstring? In theory, no. But number one, these things tend to linger. They especially tend to linger as a guy gets a little bit older. He's coming off a very injury-plagued season. So, in general, I'm not concerned, except for the fact, Cooper Kupp right now is trending as wide receiver 3.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That gives me pause. Give me Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. Some of those guys I'd have probably taken ahead of Kupp anyhow. And I've thought a lot about this, having the number 9 pick in the caveman draft and the way it's sort of stacking up. I think there's a possibility I'm going to be choosing between Cooper Kupp and. So I actually spend a lot of time.
Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't fall that far, and I hope he does. I hope somebody else takes that risk. I'm doing the air quotes. I don't even know if it's a risk, but it makes you nervous. It's probably nothing, but it does. It makes me nervous. It gives me pause.
And that is the thing that scares me the most about, the modern athlete.
Mm-hmm.
They are so highly specialize, train, work out, however you want to put it. And, I mean, you see so many of these injuries, they're just running.
Yeah.
And something tears. I mean, it's to the point of scary. You see like these guys, it's kind of like the old school wrestlers, you know, these big, thick, strong men, but then all of a sudden they transition into the Ultimate Warrior type of
bodybuilding
builds. And in reality, if he was asked to do something different, he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sometimes I think, you know, these muscles in these guys, well, we had this discussion before about that, you know, the orthopedic doctor or whatever, you know, muscles get bigger, but the ligaments don't. And they tend to have so many troubles, non-contact injuries. And it's scary because when something goes in these guys, it goes good.
Yeah. You know? Well, and that's the other thing. So, yeah, it seems silly. It really does, you know, in a vacuum saying, all right, this guy 5 weeks before the season even starts tweaked a hamstring. They're not even saying he's going to miss much time in camp. But it makes me nervous. And I do not think, in my opinion, this could sound stupid coming off the year he had 2 years ago. It sounds really stupid.
Yeah.
That Cooper Kupp is the wide receiver 3 right now. I don't view him as that at this point in his career.
No. I mean, I want to see them – I want to see him back in camp. And, he's okay. He's fine. And watch him run some routes and catch some balls before I even entertain the fact that he's top five.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, everybody on Twitter, this is just a PSA, if you could do me a favor. When you're hanging out at camp and recording a guy going one-on-one, a receiver, any receiver, it doesn't matter who it is, they've done it with everyone, and you watch a guy run a good route and catch a football, this doesn't mean he's a wide receiver one now. Just stop.
Yeah.
They're wearing shorts.
Okay? Right. Or if a quarterback hits a 30-yard pass to a guy that's wide open,
and
look at that arm. Well, I mean, that's why they're in the NFL. Yeah. They can throw a football.
Now, that George Pickens catch, show that to me all day. All right, that's something special.
And that wasn't not bad coverage
by
Joey Porter Jr. either.
Yeah, but they were showing, I think, it wasn't even a receiver, it was Bijan Robinson, and they're doing that juke drill. So he's running, so he's one-on-one. I don't care if he's one-on-one with Usain Bolt. I don't care who he's one-on-one with. And that juke drill, the guy with the ball is going to win every single time. And here's why, in case you didn't know it, Twitter, here's why. The guy with the ball knows where he's going.
Yeah.
The guy without the ball, he doesn't know. That's why the offense in the open field always has the advantage, right? So, look, Bijan Robinson, I think, is going to be great. Tremendous athlete, really fast, everything. But that clip that was retweeted 8,000 times and showed up on our timeline 57,000 times, that didn't prove anything to me. Get out of here with that junk.
I can go back to an interview I saw when I was a kid. You're talking a long time ago. And I can't remember who the defender was. He said he hated seeing Gale Sayers. He says, because when he got into the second, or not the secondary, but the second level, past the line, he was a linebacker, and I can't remember who it was. He says, and he would square up to him. He says his eyes weren't looking at him. He says, I was already beat.
Yeah.
You know, and he hadn't even gotten to me yet. Mm-hmm. He was looking to the next guy.
Yeah, he'd already, you know, you're done.
It's the same way now.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so just a minor annoyance. It's going to keep happening, and so be it. But, hey, I think we pulled it off, Rick. We made it an entire show.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Now the real test will be, can we do it again next week?
Barring any disasters, we're ready because the season football is here.
Yeah, so now it's excitement. So, hey, thanks so much for joining us again. Hopefully we can get back on track, start doing this thing every week. Spread the word at Asylum Football on Twitter, X, Y, Z, whatever the hell they're calling it this week. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. If you got a topic you want to play, or you got a narrative you want us to talk about, you want us to debunk, hit us up there. And
you see a no debate tweet, you let us know.
Oh, yeah, you send it our way and Rick will attack. At AsylumFootball@gmail.com, AsylumFantasySports.com. Until next time, we'll see you.
Take care.